chapter 12, we're going through a series of lessons on emotional concepts, really dealing with these negative type of emotions and how we deal with them. We've dealt with anger and looked at anger. And last week, if I remember right, let's see, discouragement. We looked at the feeling of discouragement and how to handle that. And these come from the Rock of Ages ministry. If you remember the fellow, I can't remember his name now, but that came a couple of years ago and from the Rock of Ages ministry and presented that. I'm using his format and some of his ideas, and then of course of my own, and taking it from the Word of God. But I'm using all the different emotional concepts from those lessons, and I doubt I'll go through all of them, but I'll go through several of them because they are very important. Bitterness being one of those things, and you know what it is to be bitter. You understand bitterness. It's an extreme enmity. It's like having a grudge. It's a hatred. It's an excessive degree of negative passions and emotions. Bitterness really is, among all the different negative emotions, it's very extreme. That's how I would label it. Bitterness is extreme. Strong's definition of bitterness is bitter gall, extreme wickedness, bitter hatred, a bitter root, and so producing a bitter fruit. And that's what bitterness produces. It always produces bitter fruit. And so I thought of a number of things, and just in giving an introduction, the purpose or the beginning of bitterness, often what causes us to be bitter. Many times it's because we're suffering some great pain. There's something that's happened in our life, and we're hurt emotionally in a very deep way. We're hurt maybe even physically, but some will go through a bitter divorce, and those relationships turn very sour, and people become very bitter. Some people have great tragedies that happen to them, and they're very bitter. Some people, you know, their children could be hurt in a way that is just very difficult for us to get past it, and we can easily become bitter. Some hurtful experience can produce some anger in you, and then when that anger is not dealt with biblically, it will result in a root of bitterness. And when it goes there, it's very hard to deal with. And so it's often when we suffer pain, and then it turns to really a vengeance. When this root of bitterness grabs a hold of your heart, you really want to hurt other people, the one that you're bitter against. You want to repay evil with evil. And somehow our unruly heart, and the Bible says it's deceiving. Our heart can deceive us, and we think that we're justified having these negative feelings, but that's just not true. We're not justified. If you remember anything, remember that vengeance belongs to the Lord. There's a place for justice, but we're talking about vengeance. You taking out wrath on a particular person for some great hurt that's been done to you, and you've not dealt with that anger in the proper biblical way, and it turns to a bitterness, a root of bitterness, and seems to overtake you, and it seems like nothing will satisfy you but wrath. And wrath is coming, my friend, if you don't deal with this bitterness. But it's vengeance. And the Bible says, Deuteronomy 32:35, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. In Psalm 94:1, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. That's who it belongs to. He tells us in the New Testament, Romans chapter 12, in verse number 19, dearly beloved, he's speaking to us because he knows we're going to struggle with this emotion at times. Avenge not yourselves, because we're going to be tempted to do that. But rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. Give it to the Lord, and I will repay, saith the Lord. Now, bitterness is so important for us to understand how to deal with because it's very dangerous. It will really, unlike many other things, poison your soul. Can you think of anybody, and perhaps you had been there at some time in your life, but can you think of anybody right now that you would label a bitter person? If you know somebody that's bitter, there's no doubt about it. You can think of that person, and maybe it's someone in the past, maybe somebody in the present, but you know no doubt that bitterness really consumes them. It is like a root of bitterness, as the Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 15. Did I read that verse, chapter 12? Let me go ahead and read it in verse number 15. Hebrews 12 and verse number 15. It says, looking diligently, because this is something you must be on guard with, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and therefore many be defiled. That's the danger of it. When you allow that hatred to continue, and then it turns into bitterness, it's a root that grabs a hold of your soul, and it seems like people that are bitter, bitter people, it is hard to get them to separate themselves from their bitterness. It can go on for months. It can go on for years. There's a root that just is so deep. I have a yucca plant in my yard. If you drive up my front driveway, just as you come to the top, there's a yucca plant on the left. Now, I'm going to tell you something. In the past, I have tried to kill that yucca plant many times. I have yanked it out. I have dug up the roots with my tractor. I have done everything I can in the past, several different times, to kill that yucca plant. And if you drive up my driveway on the left, you'll see the biggest, most healthiest yucca plant you've ever seen. It's just something. I've tried to kill it over and over and over again. And when I think about this root of bitterness, for some people, that's how it is. It's so deeply rooted in their heart, in their soul. They've tried to get rid of it at times because they know the danger that's there, and they just simply cannot. And so how do I get rid of this thing? Because the Bible says, obviously, that it poisons your soul. It's hard to get rid of. Living in bitterness is a horrible, miserable life. You know that bitter person in your mind. You know this about them. They are really a miserable person. And it will cause you to make over and over, repeatedly, poor decisions. Have you ever noticed somebody struggling with bitterness, constantly makes the wrong decisions over and over? I mean, they don't think about anything. Their decisions are just really to get back, to get even, and it just consumes them, and they really don't even care who they hurt. They do care, but there's going to be many casualties, people that they love, because they can't see nothing but red. I was at the bullfights the other day, 3 or 4 weeks. Some of you went to the bullfights, and every once in a while, one of those bullfighters would wave a little ribbon or a flag before the bull, and it always get their attention. They wave their arms, and that bull will see them, and when he really catches a hold of them, then the fight is on. And do you know those little bullfighters in Spain? They have those little red capes, and those bulls see them, and it attracts them, and they only see that red, and they're there to attack. And that seems how many people that are really struggling with bitterness behave. They just see red. And when you just see red, you're going to behave irrationally. And people are going to get hurt. You're going to destroy relationships. It says here, many are defiled. Not some, but many. It's going to lead to wrath. It's going to cause you to hold a grudge. And it's going to drive people away from you, even people that really do love you and really want to help you. But you're being you, and you don't care. When you're really ate up with bitterness, all that is secondary. You have got to satisfy this urge in your heart to really get even, or you're something you just can't let go of, and it destroys yourself. That's what it says. It troubles you. You will drown in your own negativity. Bitterness is like drinking a poison and waiting for the other person to die. It really doesn't make much sense because it's going to hurt you, and you're going to suffer more than anybody else. It's going to destroy your future and what could have been. The choices that you make, you'll suffer the negative results of those choices because of your bitterness. Because of bitterness, many people are divorced today. Because of bitterness, many people are in prison today because they did not know how to handle this negative feeling of bitterness. Now, you can see that person. How do they behave? It's obvious. You can tell they're bitter by their speech and the words that they say. This negative emotion rules over them, and their words are often razor sharp. They're bitter words. They often blame everybody else and not themselves. The Bible says in Psalm 64:3 about those who are bitter, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. You know what I'm speaking about, and perhaps you were there at some time in your life. It's shown in their spirit. You can feel the negativity when they walk into a room. They're constantly negative, always defensive, and some are full of jealousies. And so it's very destructive. The Bible obviously says that here in Hebrews chapter 12, 15. So why is this, and what can we do to help ourselves? I'm going to give you three reasons quickly why people struggle with bitterness, and maybe to help you to understand how to have victory over it. Now, that first part of that verse, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God. Now, that's important. So the reason why that many people are bitter is because it's of a failure to accept God's grace. A failure to accept God's grace. We can see that with lost people, right? We have lost people that fail the grace of God. It's there for them. It's there to help them. The grace of God is there no matter what they've done, no matter who's done what, to save their soul and give them heaven. God's grace is there for every single person. And they could have been saved from their sins and happy in heaven, but instead, they have chosen to be unholy and remain lost. Who the Bible says of these folks in Romans 3:14, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. God's grace is there. God wants to help them. God wants to save them. Well, friend, it's the same way with a bitter person. And I'm talking about whether they're saved or lost, but especially a saved, bitter person. Because if you're saved, doesn't mean that you'll never be bitter. In fact, there are a lot of saved people that have lost their way and have a root in bitterness in their heart that they need to deal with. And here's why they're not going to get over it, because they fail to accept the grace of God. See, God's grace is there, and we can see it tied in this verse to bitterness. God's grace is there to help you get over your bitterness and to keep you from being bitter. It'll keep you from giving in to this negative feeling. He can change your heart. He can pluck the root of bitterness out of your heart, even though you've tried over and over and over and over. But you've been so hurt, you cannot do it. That root is too deep in your heart. And to get over that bitterness, this is so important to understand, you have to let God remove it. And God can. There's a grace there that God wants to give you. In James chapter 4 and verse 5 and 6, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain? The Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If you'll humble yourself and give it to God, you don't have to live with your bitterness, because God has a grace for you. And if you would just embrace it, you can give victory. You can have victory over your bitterness. But you got to let go of it. And some people just don't want to let go of it. It hurts so much. And they want justice. If they don't want justice, they want vengeance. They want something more. And they refuse to let go of it. Now, perhaps you're not struggling with bitterness right now, and this doesn't mean as much to you. But if one day you do struggle with bitterness, you'll need to know this. Deep bitterness. And some people have experienced that in their heart in life. You've got to let go of it and give it to God. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Give it to Him. You don't have to live with it. Why would you want to live with that? That negative emotion of bitterness that just eats away at your soul. You need to give it to God. He's graceful. So we struggle with bitterness because of a failure to accept God's grace. Now let me give you number two. We struggle with bitterness because of a failure to forgive. The Bible commands us to forgive. We had a talk about this, and I do believe I understand forgiveness. It's a message that one day maybe I'll preach more particularly on this particular subject, so that we can understand it in a more greater detail. But we are commanded to forgive others. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and it shall be forgiven. But we have to be ready. If you're going to get rid of that forgiveness, to get rid of that bitterness, to offer forgiveness. The Bible says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. See, now here's the thing about forgiveness, and I've taught about this in the past, but forgiveness is not just an emotion. It's not an emotion. Forgiveness is a choice. It's a choice that you make. Now you have to be serious with that choice. You have to do it from the heart. But many will say, I don't feel like forgiving them. I understand that. Now, friend, if somebody murdered your child and you were bitter against them, I can understand that, how you would not feel like forgiving them. But let me tell you about forgiving or offering forgiveness. Offering forgiveness doesn't mean that you're accepting them. It doesn't mean you're accepting them nor their abuse. Let me understand. I need more time for you to understand this clearly. And I don't want to preach it in a way that brings you to a false understanding. But we're to forgive as God forgives. And God is willing to forgive anybody and everybody. But that forgiveness is not, if it's not acted upon, then that relationship is not restored. They have to react on that willingness. God willingly wants to forgive. And he doesn't hold enmity against man. He put all that upon his son. And so he offers forgiveness, but that forgiveness has to be reacted. It has to be obtained for that relationship to be restored. I'm not asking you to restore your relationship. That person has his own choice to make. And they may still be angry, and they will still hold bitterness towards you and towards others. And they may not want your forgiveness, but that doesn't matter. I'm not talking about them. I'm speaking about you and how to release your bitterness. You have to forgive as God forgives. It's a choice to release your own bitterness, and here's how you do that. It's a choice to release them to God. Give them to God. Give them to God's mercy. Give them to God's judgment. But it's so important that you do. Forgiveness, Corrie Ten Boom said, is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hatred. It's a power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. Forgiveness releases. Here's who it releases. Forgiveness releases you, that you might not be in bondage. So you're keeping yourself in bondage by not offering forgiveness. You're keeping yourself. Your forgiving feelings, I understand, may not be theirs. And they may still hate your guts. And they may still be in the gall of bitterness. And they may still be in the bond of iniquity. But when you offer forgiveness, when it is there, when you give them over to God, then you can have a peace of mind. When you give them to the judgment and vengeance of God and to the mercy of God, let God deal with it. And then he will cause you to have a peace. And so I'm not asking you to restore that relationship. That relationship cannot be restored unless the other accepts your forgiveness, unless it's mutual. But you can and should forgive like God forgives, like Christ forgives, and extending forgiveness and giving your bitterness to God and giving them over to God. We struggle with bitterness because of a failure to accept God's grace, a failure to forgive, and lastly, because of a failure to grow and mature. And that's so true. As I counsel people, I see that so many are bitter and they will not move beyond the past. They live in the past. And when you live in the past, you stop growing. You cannot please Christ while you're living in the past. Your future is rendered useless because of your reaction to a negative feeling that causes you to live back when that happens. I see that over and over again, that others want to live, bitter people want to live and dwell in the past. And they want to spend so much time in the past trying to figure out how to get over it, trying to figure out what went wrong. And I'm not saying that some of that may not be necessary, but you have to move on. And it should not take weeks and months and years for you to move on. You have to get out of the past. Can I tell you, bad things have happened to other people? All through the Bible, we see that truth. Life is unfair. God never said you was going to have a fair life. Life is unfair. People are unfair. I mean, the Apostle Paul is a prime example of all evil that took place to him. And yet, in response to that evil, he wrote in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 13 and 14, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So I'm reaching forth. I'm getting over the past. I have to ask for forgiveness perhaps from somebody, but I'm taking care of that. And I'm giving that to God. And if they don't receive my extension of forgiveness, I'm giving that to God. And I'm going to move on in my life. And just move on. Don't live in the past. And take responsibility for the future. Because only you can take care of you. And that's the only one you're responsible for, in the sense that's who you're primarily, the only person that you can control. Now, I would tell you this. You first must take responsibility of your own failures. Most divorces end up in a bitter divorce, and often it's on both sides. And you can't get past your bitterness until you take personal accountability for what you have done wrong. And you can do that easily and quickly. Most spend their time in the blame game. There's no use in that. There's no growing till you move past, your own sins and failures. And so quickly, or put them sincerely under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, take responsibility, and then move on. The Bible teaches us to accept personal responsibility for our own actions despite what others have done to us. I know what they may have done seems much worse. You can't control them. Move on. Don't stay in the past. Ask for forgiveness for your part, and then extend them and give them to God. Give your bitterness over to God, or you'll never move on. You'll never grow past your bitterness until you take responsibility of your own actions. Then take responsibility of your own life. We cannot necessarily change anybody else. I can only be an influence to some people, to most people, all people. Really, it gets to the point, if they're not children in your home, then the only way I can influence them is just trying to be a good influence to them. I can't force anything. And so sometimes people can be very disappointing. You can grow bitter over their decisions. That's not the proper response. No, you give it over to the Lord. You just continue to be a good influence and stop being angry over their decisions and just worry about your own decisions. We can't often change them, but we can change us. That's all the one who God is going to hold us accountable for. And we cannot change our circumstances, but so many people let their circumstances decide their feelings. We must choose not to let poor circumstances cause us to make poor choices. Happiness in my life is not based upon circumstances in my life. It's based upon the inner man. And so I need to move on if I'm struggling with bitterness. And I need to do something with my future. We can change our own selves. We make the choices of the direction that we're going to go, whether we're going to follow the Lord or not. I know this, that whoever it is, and however bitter they may be, their future can be bright. It can change. It can be joyful. They can be full of joy and peace if they'll take responsibility of their own life. So many people struggle with bitterness. They succumb to the feeling of that very powerful negative emotion, to where some people become chronically bitter. That root has just really taken hold in their life. I'm telling you, the Bible says it is a destructor. It destroys. It says here in our text, it will destroy you, your soul. It attaches to your heart and it won't let go. And it will overtake you and control you. It will cause you to behave irrationally, making choices that will destroy yourself and destroy other people. But we can have victory over it, of course, in Christ, by accepting, one, God's grace. By God's grace, He can pluck the root of bitterness from your heart, no matter how much you tried and you failed. But God has a grace that He wants to extend to you to help you in your bitterness if you, by faith, will give it to Him and release it. Say, Lord, take this out of my heart and out of my life. And then by choosing to forgive, all three very necessary, choosing to forgive by releasing your vengeance, by giving it to God, by releasing your enemy into God's mercy, extending forgiveness, and by choosing to live, making the right choices, choosing to grow, asking forgiveness for your wrong, and then taking responsibility for your future. And so there's just a quick lesson, I believe, that could be a big help to you concerning bitterness. Does anybody got